So I want everyone to know that I had actually decided on the subject of the sermon before President Donald Trump allegedly decided to use an obscene word to describe some countries. I find it interesting that so many in society, in the society that warranted this talk, are now acting so aghast at his alleged language. And by the way, I had to add the word alleged today because in line with a previous sermon about not prejudging till you have proof, a senator or a congressman who was there came out this morning and said he didn't use that word. All I'm saying is that I think we have to be cautious. There's a thing called confirmation bias. And it's one thing to have confirmation bias help us think a positive thing about somebody we like. But there's something horrible about allowing confirmation bias to make it so that as soon as we hear something bad about a person we dislike, that we are ready to damn them. I also find it more than ironic that the response of people aghast at his alleged word in the countries he used it against, their response is often more foul than the cuss word he is accused of saying is. I think of a friend we have, Michelle, who tagged me about it, and I thought I might go ahead and respond, and then I saw that the first verbose response on there was just so foul, saying that, I can't think of a good way even to describe it. Saying something like that, I was like, well, how can you have a conversation if somebody who might be in the dialogue thinks that that is an appropriate way to discuss it? But we gotta wait first. Let's step back for a moment and see if we have consensus. Is it wrong to swear? Yes or no? Is it wrong to swear?
Yes.
Yes? Deb, yes? Augie?
Yes.
Yes? Notice I didn't ask, is it wrong for a Christian to swear? Although levels of accountability do depend on knowledge, moral laws are universal. We Christians just have less excuse when we break them. So is it wrong to swear? I have found the answer to that question, which seems very obvious to me, to be impossible to get agreement with folks who think it's okay, even Christians. If they think it's okay to use curse words, there's just no dialogue. And the reason for that is that the Bible never flatly says, do not use any word that society has categorized as a swear. Bible never says that. In all its pages, never specifically says, do not use any word that society has categorized as a swear. But let me ask you this. Except potentially in a case where the life of the mother is in danger, is it wrong to get an abortion?
Yes.
Yes, Augie?
Yes.
Yes. Of course it is. Does the Bible specifically state it is wrong to kill a baby in the womb?
No.
Does it say that? No, it doesn't. But it's still wrong. Hey, guys, come on in. Hello there. I like the hat, dude. Oh, you know what? We didn't get snacks this time. We're so bad. Good morning.
Hey, I said hi.
Oh, hey.
Mom, can you tell Mommy said hello to you too?
Everybody wants to sit next to Aaliyah, huh? Good morning. Good morning. So, just to catch everybody up, we asked the question to start off the sermon. Is it okay to swear? Is it okay to swear? And they said no. Do you guys agree?
I agree.
You agree? You agree?
The Bible said no.
The Bible says no. We're going to confirm that, I think, today. So we were talking, and I told people that I actually selected this sermon before our president was accused of using a rather disgusting word, derogatory word of some countries, because what it comes down to is I'm just amazed now at how, it's one thing, it's I like music, and it's just amazing to me how it's just in pretty much every song now of a certain type. But we have congressmen and senators publicly, on the record, knowingly using foul language. And so I was going to do the sermon anyway. And we were talking about the reason that there's this argument, even with Christians sometimes, is because the Bible never specifically says, do not use any word that society has categorized as a swear. It never specifically says that. But then I brought up, does the Bible ever say specifically, it is wrong to kill a baby in the womb? Does it ever specifically say that? But we know it's wrong, don't we?
Isn't there a verse that says, like, whatever you do to the child in the womb, it'd be done to you, or something like that? Like, if you punch a woman who's pregnant... Sorry, you're doing your sermon.
No, you're fine.
And then the baby comes out and has, like, a...
There is a penalty, yep.
Yeah, so...
But what's weird, in even in our modern society, we have laws like that. But we still have not overturned the, by fiat, legalization of abortion by the Supreme Court. So there is a perception, but what we do is we have a habit of compartmentalizing. And this is the same kind of things with swear words. We'll talk about a couple of the ways they mentally compartmentalize, but they compartmentalize. And so what, let me put it this way, if Planned Parenthood talks about abortion, what are they euphemistically tissue, but what else do they talk about the treatment? It's reproductive care, right? It's reproductive treatment. I'll tell you, to the baby, it doesn't feel like reproductive treatment. So we've said it doesn't specifically say not to kill the baby in the womb, but even Christians, some Christians, still argue that abortion is okay. My take on all this, basically, if you have a pet sin, you'll do whatever you need to protect it. If you have a pet sin, you'll do whatever you can to protect keeping that pet sin. And that doesn't mean that everybody who supports abortion has had an abortion, but the fact is it fits within their pet sins, which is putting, I guess, your needs above God's commands. It's really what it comes down to, doesn't it? Okay, enough of a preamble. Today's sermon is actually going to be really short. We're going to look at some verses, one right after the other. So get prepared. It's all in the New Testament. We're going to go one verse after the other, and then we're going to discuss them, okay? So let's start with Ephesians 4:29. The first two are in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. And by the way, let's so we don't forget at the end, the folks who, Amanda and family, are still sick, so please pray for them. So I'm glad that you're feeling better this week. She would have made it here last week, but when I saw her after church, she was looking pretty under the weather. So here's Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Now look at Ephesians 5:4. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. Okay, now let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Are we there?
Yep.
Okay. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Let's turn back a little bit. Romans 12. We're going to look at verses 17 to 18. Romans 12, 17 and 18. Are we there? Repay no one evil for evil. but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Let's go, I guess, forward again to 2 Corinthians 8, verses 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians 8, 20 and 21. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. Okay, one more. One more. Are we ready? Matthew 12:34. Matthew 12:34. These are going to come right from the lips of Jesus himself. Matthew 12, verse 34. All set? You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, if your mind, like mine, counts things automatically, you'll notice that the references are in groups of three, then two, then one. Ephesians 4:29 rejects corrupting talk. Ephesians 5:4 adds filthiness and crude joking to the verboten list. And Colossians 3:8 finishes our set with condemnation of obscene talk. Now, I know we're all in sync. I am, in essence, here when it comes to swearing, preaching to the choir. By the way, I also know that there's a decent chance that all of us slip now and then. We have grown up in a world. We perhaps have grown up in lives, so I'm not claiming that we don't slip. But I'm preaching to the choir. But if I wasn't, I want you to step back and pretend you don't agree with me. And I want you to be honest. With what I just listed, can you see any way swearing would not run afoul of at least one of those? Can you think of any, I mean, honestly, can you think of any way that swearing would not run afoul of at least one of those? Sure, like some who will argue that the Bible doesn't really condemn homosexuality, at least modern homosexuality. You can try muddying the meaning of each verse, and you might be right about one of them. However, seriously, have you ever heard someone use a coarse word and you wouldn't describe it at least as corrupting talk, filthiness, crude, or obscene? Have you ever heard a swear word and said, oh, it doesn't fit any of those categories? It's sweet. It's all, like I say, it's all Skittles and rainbows. I mean, if you think about it, since swear words are almost always, I couldn't think of one and I didn't want to go through the list in my head, but think about it, swear words are always connected with sex, bodily excrement, questioning somebody's salvation state, questioning somebody's parenthood. I think that pretty much covers it. Now, that what they do is they blaspheme God to help add to it. You got to add God to it, right? But my point, though, is the base word generally for each one has something to do with sex, bodily excrement, questioning somebody's salvation state, or questioning somebody's parenthood. Can you, given that, can you say they are not corrupting, filthy, crude, nor obscene? I repeat myself. If you have a pet sin, you will do whatever you can to protect keeping it. That was our set of three. Now let's talk about our set of two. Romans 12:17-18 tells us to, quote, do what is honorable in the sight of all, unquote, and as, quote, far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. 2 Corinthians 8:20-21 says, Paul and his faithful brothers, because he talks about, he's like writing we, us, those kind of things, that Paul and his faithful brothers, that they, quote, aim at what is honorable not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. First, just to make sure we're in agreement before we kind of discuss those verses more, make sure we're in agreement. Should you and I aim for the same thing that God's faithful in the first century aimed for? More specifically, what Paul and his faithful brothers aimed for? Should we aim for the same thing? Yes. Elisa says yes. We all say yes, right? Michelle? Augie?
Yeah.
Good. We're in sync. Cisco? Good. Cisco shakes his head yes. So based on that, is cursing honorable in the sight of all? Does swearing help you live peaceably with all? Is coarse language, quote, honorable in the Lord's sight, unquote, and or, quote, in the sight of man? So if you're listening on the internet right now, people are shaking their head no.
No.
Well, exactly, and saying it. In the sermon, we're technically still trying to answer the begin one, whether it's honorable in the sight of God. I think we already have, technically. But, you know, the question of is coarse language honorable in the sight of man? In the sight of some men and women, yes. But many, albeit seemingly a diminishing amount, the answer is no. So the answer to all those questions I asked is an emphatic no. Cursing is not honorable in the sight of all, does not help you live peaceably with all. It is not honorable in the Lord's sight, nor the sight of man. At least in the sight of men and women who have had their eyes opened by God. And one final comment on that last assertion. Even when you see Christians argue that swearing is perfectly okay, have you ever seen them postulate that it's actually good? You see what I'm saying? Even if you've ever seen a Christian say, swearing's fine. Augustine, it's all right, don't worry about it. They're just words. Have you ever had them say it's good? Man, swearing is cathartic. It's a great thing. God wants you to swear. I can't recall ever seeing that, because even they, arguing that it's okay to swear, know there's something not fully fine about it. Not fully fine about it. They may act like it's just a neither here nor there, but you'll never catch them saying it's good, because there's no way you could ever argue that it's actually good to swear. And I should note that it's not just your reputation when you swear. It is not just your reputation that you should care about when you choose the words that come out of your mouth. You are representatives of who? Of who? The Lord. Right. The Most High. God Almighty. You are representatives of God. What you do, what I do, what we do with our mouths, with our hands, reflects on him. When you reflect badly on him, you are blaspheming his name. Let me repeat that. When you reflect badly on God, you are blaspheming his name. And if there's nothing else in this sermon that has caused you pause, that should give you pause. What's up, Augie? It is to treat it very, very, very badly. I'm sure there are better definitions, but that's how I would say it. It's treating it very, very, very badly. It's basically, would you compare God to cow dung?
No.
It's the equivalent. When you blaspheme somebody's name, you're treating it very badly. Okay, I grouped the first three references I gave you as words, and the second two as reputation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
First one had to do with what words you use and what kinds of words you use. The second ones have to do with reputation, both yours and God's, and giving God, having people look at your reputation positively. The last one I categorize as your heart. Let's reread Matthew 12:34. Let's reread Matthew 12:34. And you guys can probably see, I have a little passion around this. I'm debating it. The music that I really like, as Augie knows, they have a habit of throwing in a swear word now and then. And I have to decide if I want to get rid of it. Because the thing is that I was not brought up. I was brought up in a Christian culture. They're cultural Christians, but I wasn't brought up as a Christian. So I already have to fight the fact that it's not that I ever swore prolifically, but I grew up not, it wasn't a big issue, right? Then, if you're trying to keep your mind clean, right? I had an interesting Twitter conversation, just as a quick aside. An interesting Twitter conversation with this Canadian woman, although I would call her a girl because I'm old enough where she is a girl to me. Probably late teens, early 20s. And the cursor came up and she made a comment about, that it's not really a sin if like you hit your thumb with a hammer and you swear. I said, well, I can understand that. I can probably agree, except that I have a hard time believing that anybody who would swear when they hit their thumb or, you know, bump their toe or whatever, never uses swear words otherwise. I just have a hard time believing it. And she disagreed, and I wasn't going to keep going on it. But if you think about it, generally the words don't exist in your vocabulary. It's not that you, so think of it. You might hear some fancy word on TV, some multi-syllable word that's classy, but it doesn't just hop in your category, your vocabulary. The reason we use four-letter words as adjectives is because we used four-letter words. So if you hit your thumb and you swear, yeah, I think God can kind of understand. Your temptation level at that point is really high, but that probably does mean that there's a bigger issue. And the reason I have passion is even if I stop listening to that music, I'd have to stop, like your friend, our friend, I shouldn't say, our friend on Facebook. I just have to stop reading anything she writes. Because sooner or later she's going to throw something in there or somebody, you know what I mean? So it's just, this is something that, I don't know, I don't want to belabor it, but this is something that really affects me badly because to me it's one of the biggest indications of coarseness of society, the coarsing of society, if that makes sense. Okay, let's get back to it. So Matthew 12:34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you gossip about people, it reflects your heart. If you say things to hurt people, you say something because you're mad, you're going to get at them. If you say things to hurt people, it reflects your heart. If you lie, it reflects your heart. Where your priorities are. Does everybody agree? I've had a lot of agreement in this sermon. So it almost seems like a sermon you shouldn't have to say. But in today's, good. But in today's society, it's a sermon a lot of Christians need to hear. If you use the F word, the S word, the fill in the word here word, or the fill in the letter here word, it reflects your heart. Is that really what you want? Seriously? The F-bomb, that's what you want reflecting your heart? Telling somebody to go whatever themselves? I mean, seriously? And Jesus, I mean, all of the Bible's inspired, but did Jesus know men's hearts? So if he says what comes out of your mouth reflects your heart, he knows people's hearts. I'm going to go one more aside, and then we'll wrap up the sermon. I have told people that when something happens and you react, there are stages. First thing is you got to make a decision. You know, are you going to let your emotions control you, or are you going to control your emotions, right? And awareness is probably the most powerful thing. If you can stop and say, why am I feeling this way? You're at work, something's going wrong. Why am I feeling this way? Often, by the way, it's hurt. We're hurt because somebody has done something we feel is unfair or whatever. As guys, we don't want to say we're hurt because that sounds wimpy. But the fact is, if you think about it, often it's we're hurt, and then we want to protect and stuff. But at some point, we have decisions. It is very hard to stop something from popping up in your head. Will you agree with that? It's very hard. So right now, just to prove it, whatever you do, everybody here, do not think of a pink elephant. Don't think of a pink elephant. Did you think of a pink elephant? I told you not to think of a pink elephant. So it's pretty hard, especially if you have grown up outside the church, but even if you have, the fact that it's hard not to think of something. So like a swear word may pop up into your head. But I'll tell you right now, there is a major step between controlling, a major difference in being able to control your mind, which is hard, things pop in, than controlling what comes out of your mouth. Now it is true there's a step beyond that, which is making a physical decision. So you think that somebody makes you angry, you swear at them, which you shouldn't, that's a big step. Yes, it is a bigger step to punch them, but the fact is, there's a big step and you can stop it. Nothing forces people to swear. And you can't claim that you have no control. Okay. It does show the abundance of what's coming out of your heart. Time to wrap up. I made three arguments for not using coarse language. Number one, most simple one, the one that should be satisfactory, Scripture says not to. Number two, it is not honorable, and it reflects badly on you and the God you claim to follow. And number three, it reflects your heart. Those are your three reasons not to swear. However, before I give my final reason not to swear, let's talk about some arguments I've heard that swearing is okay for Christians. Ready for some quick ones? Number one, they're just words. It only matters if you use them to be mean. They're just words. They're just... different combinations of vowels and consonants. They're just words. What really matters is if you use them to be mean. My response to they are just words, so what? So what? Pornographic pictures are just pictures. But sane, or I should say most sane people would not argue that there aren't some pictures that aren't appropriate. Unless someone want to wrestle more with this, not all pornographic pictures that are considered inappropriate in a public venue or for public consumption are mean or exploitative or sexual. The fact is, we understand that we're allowed to draw lines, and we can say as a society, this is okay, this isn't. Number two, this is an argument you probably will hear a lot, but so-and-so in the Bible swore. But so-and-so in the Bible swore. Okay. Even if we accept that happened at least once, or even a dozen times, say. For instance, Paul is accused of using the equivalent of the S word. My response to that, can you guess what it is? So what? Exactly. Having a few or even a dozen recorded cases of coarse words in Scripture does not negate the clear commands not to use corrupting, filthy, crude, obscene, or dishonorable language, does it? So, let's say it turns out Paul did swear. I guess he was human, right? Okay, let's do one more. Which is not just used as an excuse for swearing. This one I love. Such and such sin is worse. Have you guys heard that kind of argument? Why are you guys focusing on that? You don't talk about this. That's worse, and that's worse. Okay, I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I suspect at this point you know what my answer to that one's gonna be. What is it? So what? Exactly. So what? Ultimately, any sin that you choose over God will keep you on the wrong side of the pearly gates. But even ignoring that, nothing says that we have to spend time condemning every worse sin. When we want to mention, for lack of a better term, a minor one, right? What says that if I'm going to talk about gluttony, that then I may have to make sure I list every other sin that is equal or worse to it? I can agree theoretically that I would rather have somebody curse than murder. Can we agree on that too? I would rather have somebody curse than murder. Or even gossip, to be honest. I'd rather have you say a swear word than gossip. But what kind of horrible excuse is, quote, there are worse things that we should focus on? I mean, is that not a horrible excuse? By the way, didn't we learn from Jesus himself that what comes out of your mouth reflects your heart? So maybe we should be a little more concerned if we have a potty mouth. Because if we have a potty mouth, then we have a what? A potty heart. I don't want a potty heart, do you? Seriously. And speaking of Jesus, my last reason not to use coarse language, Jesus. Do you want to be like Jesus? Does everybody here want to be like Jesus? Yes! Yes! Yeah, raise your hand if you want to be like Jesus. That's easy, right? We'll try to touch the ceiling for that one. When you are dropping F-bombs, telling people you don't give a D, or using whatever coarse or curse word, coarse language, curse word, swear word that is stored in your brain, ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And I think if you're honest, you'd know whatever Jesus would do, he would not be swearing. But praise God, that same Jesus you should emulate by not using cuss words knows all your weaknesses. And if you slip and you ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. Be like Jesus. Don't use coarse language, but turn to him if you slip, because we truly have a friend in Jesus. And that's what I should have asked you to do for the last song.